morning, everybody. It's really nice to be here, actually. Wow, there's a lot of you today. I actually just want to start off, before I go into my preach, I just felt I had to pray for a few people. I'm just going to pray. I know Paul's prayer, but I just feel like I need to pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you've ordained this day, you've crowned this day, Jesus. And I just pray, Lord, that what I'm about to say will touch people's hearts, that they will just be able to receive. Amen. So as I was preparing this, I felt like I got a bit of a word that was separate to my preach. And I want you to stand if this is something you hunger for, and I just want, as a church, to pray. I just feel like there's a real grace on this. So God spoke to me through Hawks this week, the bird, and I felt God say, there's some people here that have been longing to have a higher perspective with things, and the thing about I don't know anything about birds. I'm not like Prue that knows a lot about birds, but apparently they use the power of the wind to hold them up, and I feel like God has said there's some of you that He wants us to pray for today that wants a higher perspective, but the only thing that will be able to hold you up to have that higher perspective will be the Holy Spirit. And so if that's you, if you want to have a higher perspective with God, I just want you to stand, and I really want to pray for you. Awesome. Brilliant. Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this room, Father. We invite you in this place. Father, I just release prophetic giftings upon these people, Lord, that you would take them higher, that you would show them things of heaven, Lord, that you would show them a higher perspective, just like a hawk, Father, that they'd be alert. They'd be alert to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. They'd be alert to see what's going on within our society, Father. I pray that you would raise up intercessors, Lord Jesus, with a higher perspective. I pray you'll raise up leaders with a higher perspective, Jesus. And teachers, Father. Father, help us to receive. Help us to listen, to hear your voice and what you want us to receive, and in what areas of our lives, Father, we want to receive from you. So we just release that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. So I'm talking a bit about faith. And recently I've just been in awe of how much this place carries, the richness of this place. Just the amount of people that have been through these doors, and the amount of baptisms we've seen, the healings, the salvations. It's just been really, kind of, it's touched my heart recently, just the weight that this place carries. And as, I don't know if you feel it too, but as you walk in this building, you can feel the presence of God, and it's just such a special place. And I know this place is special in God's heart. And I just kind of, as you can see, we've got some visual stuff. But I don't want you to pay too much attention to it. But I'm just going to explain, just to kind of quieten your mind, like, why is my name on here? I felt God give me a vision, and this is to represent generations. If your name isn't on here, please, I really apologize. You are seen, you are known, you are loved. But this is representing generations. And this is representing you, the mirror. So I will explain a bit more about that later. But yeah, just to put your mind at rest. I want you to turn to Hebrews 11. And that's where I'm going to be starting off today. I have really loved this chapter. It's all about faith. It's all about examples of people in the Bible who have just lived a life of faith. And it's one of those chapters where you have to kind of read it over again and again and again really slowly, because I think sometimes we miss that these are real people, that these are real testimonies, and this is the real, raw power of God and raw, real, raw faith. And as I was reading this, I just felt so inspired, and it's something that God has spoken to me about for a few weeks, and just really felt that he wanted me to share this with you today. And so I'm not going to read it just because of time, and I have a lot to get through, but you'll notice it will say, it was by faith that Isaac, it was by faith that Moses, it was by faith. And it just really struck me. It just really highlights faith, really highlights faith. And I don't know about you, but if somebody asks about the new church, and they say, you know, how are you doing the new church? How is it being built? Where does the money come from? All you can say is, it's by faith. All you can say is by faith. That there's a team from our church has set their eyes upon God. God's given them a vision, and it's by faith that they have kind of put their foot in it, got their hands into it, and started God's vision and to build it. And people are amazed that it's just by faith that a building like that can come from such a beautiful congregation. And so I really want to touch on faith today. So first of all, I'm just going to talk about the generations. God has spoken to me a lot about the generations of this church, generational faith in this church, and we'll be looking at Hebrews 12 in a minute, but it talks about running the race. But I just want to talk about the generations that have gone before us, the faith that they had, and I actually just want to, I really don't want to embarrass anyone, but I just really want to show this because I thought it really linked to my preach. I was just chatted with my nana, and we found these articles. If you want a copy, because I didn't get it up on the screen, but there's a picture here, I think it's from 1985, of this church. I'm really sorry you can't see this, but it's basically packed. It's just, and I saw it, and it was just so precious. And I was just struck that, you know, generations have gone before us, and they've come here, they've sown in, they've invested in prayer in this place. And for us to be here, for us to experience God's power, for us to experience his grace, and to raise up people in this church to see the power of God and what that looks like. And I've been inspired to hear about leaders in this church, past pastors that have, you know, sown in to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and said, yes, we are going this way with our church because we believe that there is more. We believe by faith we are going this way because we want to receive the more of God. Even though people didn't agree, they still went because they had faith that there was something more to receive. And so if you want to see that, I've got a beautiful picture of Ivan preaching. So if you want to see that, you can. I can get a copy for you. But I just thought that was just such a beautiful representation of our church and just the faith that's been through the generations. And I think it shows that faith changes, just somebody's faith by saying yes to God can change a generation. If past leaders here hadn't said yes to the calling of going deeper with God, then where, I don't know where it would be. And faith is so huge. Faith, and I'm definitely not going to cover as much because faith is such a huge topic, but your faith can really affect the generations. So in Hebrews 12, it says, so we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that is so easily trips us up, and let us run the race with endurance that God has set before us. When I read chapter 11, I pictured kind of this hallway of faith, and I pictured myself walking down this hallway with kind of generals of the faith on the wall in golden frames, and it was just like, wow, we can... their ceiling is our floor. What they have set, what they have grounded with their faith, we can now step upon, and now we can take the baton up and run forward. Does that make sense? So I think it's precious to kind of step back and see the people who have gone before us and thank God for what he's done. But I feel like God is saying there is that, but also there's you right now that he's calling you to take the baton on and run the race. And I want to encourage you in this preach to run your race. Whether you're in a season of accelerating, whether you're in a season of just kind of crawling, maybe you're like, oh, I can't do life anymore. Or if you're just sitting down and in a place of rest, I want to encourage you in your race, because now is your time. You are born for such a time as this. And God wants to deepen your faith. I really felt there's a deepening of faith that God wants to release. So I pray that over you. And I think there's times in our lives where we're kind of at a crossroad with things. So when God calls you into something, you can say yes, or you can kind of step back and continue in the place that you are in. But when you say yes to God in faith, you are opening up an opportunity to hear his voice. You are opening up an opportunity to go deeper with him and explore more of who he is and more of his character. And I don't know about you, but that's something that I hunger for. And I feel like what's going on with the world, you know, we hear about it in the news, just some terrible stuff is going on. We need to be people of faith. This is such a desperate time when our faith needs to be so deep and grounded in truth. So we can, when we say yes to God, we are confident in saying yes to God. And living a lifestyle of faith is hard. It is challenging, you know. It will take you to places that you never even thought you would go. And without living a lifestyle of faith, we can never get to certain parts of God's heart. Because if we just go by our own understanding, then we'll get kind of lost in the worldly opinions and perspectives. But I know that we are a church that are hungering for the more of God. I know that we are a church that are full of faith, but I just feel like God wants to take us even deeper with faith, and he will bless your yes that you give him. He will pour out favor onto you when you say yes to him. He won't leave you. He will equip you when you say yes. Because your faith to him touches his heart. So in chapter 12, verse 1, again, faith is so highlighted because it overrides, it overcomes fear, it overcomes doubt. And that's so easy to say, but it's really hard to live out. And I struggle with that. I really struggle with that. I have to remember that my faith overrides God, overrides fear, and overrides lies. And I really want to be strong in faith. I really want to be strong in faith. And I know you do too. And I know that people in the past generations have prayed, Lord, let the next generations of this church be strong in faith. And we carry the baton right now to run the race in faith and pass it on to the next generations. And it says, I love this, it's so simple. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We do this, we run the race in faith. And we do that by looking at Jesus. And just by looking at Jesus, we get a constant renewal of faith, just by looking at him. And the other day, God really convicted me. And I just felt like I was really low on faith. You know, you get those days. And I read this, and it said, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And God simply said to me, Abby, you've had your eyes off me for too long. Wow. You've had your eyes off me for too long. If you had your eyes on me in this situation, your faith would have strengthened. And that's just my personal conviction. I felt God wanted me to share that with you. Because when we look at him, our faith is renewed, and I love that. Just by looking at him, we can step back in any situation we're in and just look at him, and our faith is instantly renewed just because who he is. And, you know, when Jesus comes back, it says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That's because when they look at Jesus, they instantly have that faith that he is the Son of God just by looking at him. I long for the day when we see Jesus. Long for the day to see Jesus. And when we say yes to God, we immediately step into the realm of faith. And when God says, seek first the kingdom of God, it always requires faith. Always requires faith to seek first the kingdom of God. And we ourselves, when we're seeking first the kingdom of God, we ourselves have to adjust our thoughts and our values in order to accommodate faith to gain his perspective. And in the Bible, it talks about renewing your mind, and I think that's a huge, huge part of our journey with God, renewing our mind to gain his perspective, but also to accommodate faith in our own hearts. We have the free will whether we want to have faith or not. But I know we are a people who choose to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are the richest people because we can put our faith into an everlasting, eternal God. I actually just want to say something really quickly. There's a big thing that I find that God has spoken to me about is watch who you are around, watch how you associate with people, not in a please hear my heart with this. But I know when I'm with people around people with faith, then my faith strengthens. And God uses people to strengthen your faith as well. And I just feel God saying right now, actually, I have this in my notes. Just watch who you're around, because it can really affect your faith. And not, this is not to scare you, please hear my heart. This is just a bit of wisdom, I guess, to be around people who have faith. And I just want to encourage you. I don't know why that came into my head. And of course, our faith will go against worldly opinions. It will go against, perspectives. And there will always be an internal battle within us. There will always be an internal battle when you say yes to God and in faith. There will always be an internal battle. Why am I doing this? I'm not good enough to do this. What will people think of me? Always an internal battle. And discerning your thoughts and taking them captive is such a huge part of faith, because when you take captive of your thoughts, when you take captive of those lies, you can immediately flip them with truth. And that will immediately enhance your faith. And I know each one of us has those thoughts. I know each one of us has an internal battle. I just want to pray, I just want to pray for discernment, actually, quickly. Yeah, I want to pray for discernment. Father, would you release the gift of discernment over this church, Father, that when we have thoughts about that kind of degrade faith, Father, I pray that we would recognize the root of them. I pray that we would recognize where they're coming from, Father, and that we would hit them with truth, that we would kick them in the face with truth, Father. Father, I pray that we'd know our authority that you have given us, that you have blessed us with because of Jesus, Father. I just pray for the gift of discernment to release over this church, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, I want to touch on something that I said earlier about that there's never been a more desperate time to dive into the Word of God. We are constantly covered every day with lies through the media and different things. I just feel like God is saying, as people of faith, as part of going deeper in faith, the Word needs to be where you go for everything. The Word needs to be where you go in every situation. Because truth needs to reign over your life in order to build your faith. And essentially, lies are the enemy of connection, because faith draws us closer to God. But when those lies come in and try to kick your faith out, it's essentially trying to cut your connection with God and the Holy Spirit. And it has no power unless we authorize it. We can't afford to let our connection with God deteriorate. And as people that are carrying the baton of faith right now, the only way we should go is forward in faith, no matter what it looks like. And this church is so supportive. So when you say yes to something, you're guaranteed to have somebody here that's going to support you, that's going to pray and intercede for you. I feel like God is saying, you're in my eye line. You're in my eye line. That I see you, I know you, and I love you. You are seen and you are known. And you are made for greater things. Just deepen your faith. Just say yes to the call upon your life and watch me work. Watch me work. You don't have to strive. Just give me your yes and I'll bless it. Let me have an opportunity to show me your power, my power. Let me show you the Father that I am. And I remember when I was at school, I was at the ministry school, I was really struck by something Chris Fallerton said, and he said, part of faith is not living just for ourselves, but to preserve the Spirit of God for the next generations. And that really struck me, that our faith just doesn't affect ourselves, it affects our children's 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 children. And it affects the future of this church. And it affects the kids in junior church, and it affects the kids in Impact. And we can be examples of faith to them. Just like Hebrews 11, where it says, it was by faith they did this, and God came through. And he also said, Chris Fallerton, he said, when we live in faith, we partner with eternity. And when we give into eternity, we reap legacy. And I also felt God say when I heard that, we can stand here thinking, you know, the world is, there's too much bad stuff going on in the world. I can't see any light in it. But actually, our faith allows God's government to reign. God reigns, but our faith tells the world God's government reigns. That the Lord is good. And when we are examples of faith, we are allowing other people to taste and see that the Lord is good. When you say, God has told me to go here, but I don't have the finances, and somebody says, well, how are you going to get them? And you say, God will provide. And then they watch you. They're like, is he going to provide? And then he does. Imagine what they think. It's like, ooh, maybe God is real. Maybe I will pray and ask God to provide for me. So faith is not just for yourself and your personal relationship with God. It's for the generation around you, for the environment around you, for your work colleagues, for the people you minister to, for your family. I think I'm done. Can we just stand for a second? I just want to pray that God would show us how to go deeper in faith, to give us courage, and to say yes to the call that's upon your life. You carry the kingdom inside of you. To give to the world. You are his gift to the world. So Father, I want to pray for everybody here. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would deepen our faith like never before. I thank you that we can partner with you in everything we do. I pray that we would have more faith to know who you are. I pray for faith, that we would have faith that this nation would be saved, that our faith would just be enlarged, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we would have faith for another revival. I pray that we would have more faith that you reign. I pray that our faith would go deeper in believing that you are our provider, that you are our deliverer, and our healer, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you just minister to people right now. Father, I pray that we would totally surrender, lay everything at the foot of the cross in order for you to have our yes. And Father, as a church, we say yes. We say yes for what's to come. We say yes for the callings and the assignments upon each one of these people's lives, God. And Father, I want to thank you for what you've done in the generations, God. I thank you for the past generations that have been here, that have sown and invested into the future so we can benefit. Help us never to forget, Father, what you've done. But more importantly, help us focus on what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.